This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. You know, you think you understand something in this world and then someone throws you another curveball. Maybe like you, I've long thought that paper bags or cotton tote bags were way better for the environment than all those plastic sacks that some people bring home every time they go to the grocery store. But hold on, it might not be that simple because it seems like nothing is simple anymore in this complicated world. Turns out that producing plastic bags carries with them the lowest environmental toll. But there are other factors, too, as we're about to find out. Joining us, Matt Riggs is the Outreach Coordinator for MARC Solid Waste Management District. Matt, nice to have you. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve.
Shelley Miller is a professor of sustainable systems in the School for the Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. And Shelley, nice to have you, too.
Great to be here.
You know, Shelley, I'm getting the sense just from reading about this over the weekend that there are all manner of misconceptions when it comes to plastic bags, tote bags. Do I have that right?
There is. And I think consumers can get really confused at all the different information out there, for
yes.
sure.
Yeah. And Matt, do you agree with that?
Yes.
It's a confusing world
yes.
out there.
Yes.
So, Shelley, just to be crystal clear here, plastic bags are recyclable?
So plastic bags can be recyclable in certain conditions. And so we can recycle plastic bags, but often they actually gum up the works in recycling operations. And so we do encourage people to use reusable bags if they can, but reusables are only actually better if they're actually reused.
Over and over and over again in some cases, right?
Often many more times than people actually think. So depending on the type of reusable bag, whether it's a cotton tote or one of those, you know, more heavy duty plastic bags, you do still have to reuse the actual reusable bag a whole lot of times before it actually becomes better for the environment than that single use plastic bag.
That's interesting. So Matt, here in the metro, how can any one homeowner know if a plastic bag can be recycled or not, or should we just not even bother?
Well, the key about plastic bags, and these are like your retail bags you might get at Target or your local grocery store, they are recyclable. However, they should not go in your curbside bin. And that's the biggest problem we face on the recycling front, is that people are putting the plastic bags from their retail shopping in their recycling bin, and they shouldn't be going in there. However,
well, I was going to say, what should people be doing?
They can take them to basically any big box store, like Walmart. Most Walmarts and Targets have a place for plastic bags. A lot of the local grocery store chains do too. Normally, those are located up by the entrance and exit doors. So, like the Walmart I go to has a big bin right by the front door that says "Recycle your plastic bags here." But the important thing is, if you're recycling them, to keep them out of your curbside bin.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's because it gums up the works, to Shelley's point here.
Yeah, the MRFs, which are the material recovery facilities where our recyclables go, are not set up to process the film-type plastic, which is what those are.
And maybe it goes without saying, Matt, that you can take, if you go to the Walmart to return your plastic bags, you can take bags from other stores and put them in the same place, right?
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's one thing. Okay. So, Shelley, why do lots of cities not offer curbside recycling for plastic bags? What's the holdup there?
Well, I think it's exactly what Matt just said, is it's, you know, in order to actually have a single stream recycling operation where you're able to put all of your recyclables in one bin, that's actually a very difficult operation on the back end to actually be able to sort and actually recycle all of those materials effectively.
I get
and
that,
so,
but what a service it would be if that was offered and people could put their plastic bags out with the rest of their stuff.
For sure. And I think Matt probably knows a little bit more about the exact technical details, but I do know that in order to be able to separate all of those kinds of materials, the plastic bags itself make it very, very difficult. And that's often why they need sort of a more dedicated recycling stream.
Does that sound right, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do plastic bags, do they biodegrade over time?
If you took your bag from your grocery store and you left it out in your yard for many, many years, it would biodegrade. But the problem is, biodegradable is more of a marketing term than an accurate term for most things. Like if you say it's biodegradable, oh, therefore it's earth friendly. Well, that's only if it was left outside, because anything that gets buried in a landfill really doesn't break down. It's once it's in a landfill, it's like a tomb. It's sealed in there, and it's not breaking down in a landfill.
So they could survive 100 years,
or
500
years. Or 1,000 years.
Or 1,000 years. It's
in
that
a landfill.
Serious.
It
okay.
is, yeah.
And the sinister thing about plastic bags is their impact on wildlife, right? I mean, tell us about that part of this.
Well, the plastic bags, you know, here in the Midwest, they're really a problem in our local streams. Like if they're just littered on the ground, they end up in the storm drain, they go in our streams.
I see them in Brush Creek all the time because I ride my bike along there to work.
So, the one problem is wildlife entanglement, where it could entangle wildlife in any number of ways and hamper their mobility, or they could starve to death if they get one clogged in their mouth or around their neck or something like that. So it is bad for wildlife. But another really bad aspect of all plastics is the ones that are outside, and there are a lot of them outside. Any plastic that's littered is outside. As those break down over time, especially if they go down the river, out into the ocean, et cetera, and then they become microplastics. And then the studies have shown plastics are everywhere now, from the Arctic Circle to our bloodstream. So, and those break down, and that's part, the plastic bags are part of that problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Shelley, let's turn to paper bags. I know paper bags are biodegradable. So what's the drawback with them?
So a lot of it actually comes to the environmental impacts of making the material itself. And so no product is without environmental impact. And so paper is certainly not devoid of environmental impacts. And so, you know, taking trees and turning them into paper actually are quite intensive manufacturing processes. And so often what you'll see with paper production is you do have a good bit of water quality emissions that are coming from paper mills that also have ecological effects. And so when we're talking about paper versus plastic, often we're still talking about ecological damage and how much ecological damage one has versus the other. They're just slightly different kinds of environmental impacts.
You know, Shelley, I was really struck just reading National Geographic about paper bags, found out that chemicals and fertilizers are used to produce paper bags. I mean, what kinds of chemicals? What kinds of fertilizers?
So most of the paper that's produced in the United States right now aren't from old growth trees. We're not cutting down existing forests. We're basically farming trees like we would any other agricultural product. And in order to make the trees actually grow quickly, there's agricultural chemicals that get put on our forests, our managed forests, for pulp and paper production. And so there's all sorts of environmental impacts with basically growing the short rotation trees, but then also, breaking down the actual wood fibers and turning that into a chemical process that actually makes paper is actually quite intensive.
You know, Matt, I've read that you have to use paper bags at least 3 times and maybe 43 times, depending on what study you're looking at, to neutralize their environmental impact. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And most of the stuff that we use, like I know for plastic bags, you know, the average length of use is 12 minutes. So if you assume the same for your paper bags, it's like, okay, then what happens to it? Most of those, like, you know, with plastic bags, only about 10% of the, 100 billion that we use every year get recycled here in the United States. So
10% of the 100 billion plastic bags. Yeah. But the tricky thing about reusing paper bags is they often fall apart before too long, so you're not – it's an issue too.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Full of issues here. Mm-hmm. Lots of problems here. Let's turn to the cotton tote bag here, Shelley. What are the biggest misconceptions we have about them?
Well, so I think with any sort of reusable item, we inherently think, oh, it's reusable, therefore it has to be better for the environment. And that's a great thing to think, and that's often true, but only if we reuse that bag a large number of times. So cotton specifically, just like making paper, is a pretty intensive process to make cotton and cotton tote bags. And so when you think about a thin film plastic, there's actually very little material that goes into that thin film plastic. there's a lot of materials that go into that cotton bag. And so in order to sort of pay off the amount of environmental impact that goes into making that cotton bag, you have to reuse it an extraordinary amount of times. So depending on the study, you have to probably reuse that cotton bag at least 100 times before it's actually better from a climate perspective relative to a plastic bag.
At least 100 times. Okay. And to your point, these tote bags are made from an array of different materials. Talk to me about that. What kinds of materials are we talking about?
So you can, you know, when you go to the grocery store, they often do have reusable bags for purchase. And so, you know, you'll see those bags that kind of look pretty plasticky, or they almost look like fabric, but not quite. Those are often also plastic bags just woven in a particular way to make them a little bit more durable. And so when you look at cotton totes versus more of these like heavy duty plastic bags versus thin film plastics, it usually is that the cotton have to be reused the largest number of times. Those sort of thicker other plastic bags, more about the 10 times price break or in terms of having to reuse them before they're actually better than the single-use plastic.
Yeah, I want to read you something again from National Geographic. As I was mentioning, one study from the UK, Shelley, and this is very much to your point, found that regarding bag production, cotton bags had to be reused 131 times before they reduce their impact on climate change to the same extent as plastic bags. To have a comparable environmental footprint to plastic bags, a cotton bag potentially has to be used thousands of times. That's going to surprise some people.
I think it absolutely is. And it really just comes to the very specific point is that reusables have to be reused in order to have environmental benefit, because that really is, they're more durable than the single-use products. And so in order to compensate for that additional material intensity, we have to reuse them a lot. And so it really is a question of, if you want a cotton tote and that's what you really like as your reusable, by all means do it, but make sure that you're reusing it a number of times, almost till it falls apart, in order to realize that environmental benefit.
You know, Matt, that's the theme we're talking about here this morning, is reuse and reuse and reuse. That's what that's the key to this conversation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and for people who are concerned about like the impact of that plastic bag or the canvas bag or the cotton bag, we always encourage people to seek out reusable bags that are more sustainably sourced. So, for instance, cotton in its conventional growing system uses a lot of water and a lot of pesticides. Mm-hmm. So another option is organically grown cotton. So seeking out something that has sustainable attributes to it. So organically produced cotton for cotton bags. And also there's a huge array of plastics out there. There's a lot of them that have been really creatively reused to make tote bags. So pet feed bags, yoga mats, vinyl billboards, like the big billboards you see out on the highway. Those are mostly vinyl, and those can be remade into bags. So we encourage people to kind of think outside the bag or the box in this case, and think about sustainable sourced materials. So mm-hmm. if you're buying a reusable bag that is made from something that's already existed, like a feed bag or a yoga mat or something like that, then that also helps the upstream side of it as well.
I mean, there's a lot of thinking that I think a lot of misconceptions out there, too. You're thinking of the average consumer out there, Matt, trying to navigate this world and do the right thing at a time when, you know, our environment seems to be so much on the brink that you wish there was better information out there for a lot of people to wrap their arms around this stuff.
Yeah, and so we run recyclespot.org, which is the metro area's recycling website, and we have a lot of resources on there. We're currently updating the site, so it'll be a lot more user-friendly. But one of the things we have is a blog, and your interview has inspired me to write a blog about this. So soon, we will have a blog that lays all this out in print format for people.
I bet there'll be a lot of interest in that.
Right, definitely.
How can people find that blog once you start it?
If they just go to recyclespot.org. They can get on there and find the blog on that. We also encourage them to follow us on Facebook, because we have a great Facebook page that gives all kinds of great tips, some of which are about reuse. So they'll get good tips about reusable bags and other stuff like that. And they're the kind of questions that everybody seems to have. So
Yeah, Shelley, where else can people go to get good information about all this stuff as people struggle to understand the world in which they're living these days?
Sure. So the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan has a great number of resources that people can think, particularly when they're wondering about environmental footprint, because it is so confusing on trying to figure out what's actually best for the environment. And so what I always highlight is, yes, things like bags and things that we're going to throw away are often really, really on top of our mind as far as what's best, but really taking a step back and saying, what's in my bag? Right? It's probably the thing inside of your bag that has more environmental impact than the bag itself. And so really just taking a step back, thinking about consumption patterns, and just kind of doing, trying to consume less overall is probably just a great overall baseline of trying to figure out environmental impacts and how to reduce them.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about plastic bags versus cotton tote bags and which one is better for the environment. Let's go to Joe from Lenexa. Joe, you're on the show.
Great conversation. My question would be, so far the conversation is just focused on the manufacturing cost of a single-use plastic bag versus a tote bag.
Right.
But what about the other end of the cycle? After that single use, I throw my single-use bag away. It ends up in a landfill. It ends up in the ocean. Whereas my tote bag ends up in the back seat of my car. And I'm assuming that has an environmental, we all see these single use plastic bags hanging in trees along the side of the highway. And I would just like some conversation about that part of the issue also.
Shelley, you want to take that on?
No, and I think that is such a great point. And so one of the things that we have to balance, right, the upstream environmental impacts versus what actually happens after we've used these bags. And so the thing that we really want to make sure is that there's no, animals that are being harmed because of our use of plastic bags. So the first thing is really making sure that our plastic bags, if we do end up using single-use plastics, actually get in garbage cans with lids that don't actually blow away, so we can have really good, effective collection systems that will take them to landfill, or taking our plastic bags to a specific facility that will then recycle them. And so, yes, we are worried about ecological damage from sort of plastic bags that float away. When you talk about from a landfill and in sort of our modern landfills, from an ecological damage perspective, there's really not much environmental harm that comes from a landfill. And so, yes, we're talking about burying trash, and we can talk about whether or not that's really how we want to reuse resources. But as far as actual damage to animals and ecosystems, it really is when those plastic bags escape from our systems that causes the problems.
I'm curious about your point you just made about if burying trash is the right way to go. What were you thinking about there?
Well, so there's lots of questions about, okay, so we use materials, what should we do with them? And so when we talk about plastics, they are coming from fossil fuel resources, usually natural gas underground. And so there's sort of this idea of, well, what are we going to do with it? We can recycle it. That's probably the best thing to do. We can bury it, which basically puts the material from where it came, or we can incinerate it. And so, we can potentially get some energy out of it, but there's also some environmental trade-offs that come there with air emissions associated with incineration.
Is there a need for sort of a global set of standards to know how to handle these different situations, Shelley? Are we lacking sort of a common set of beliefs about how to move forward here?
So I think when we talk about overall infrastructure and moving forward towards sustainability, it really does go back to those common three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. Mm-hmm. So really focusing on how do we reduce the amount of materials that we have? How do we just have fewer bags in the world? How do we reuse them? So reusing things, and then of course recycling. And if those three things fail, then we can start talking about what's the best way to dispose.
Okay, let's go back to some calls. Let's go to David from Kansas City, Missouri. I think this is David Falk from KCUR here.
Yes, it is, Steve. And your guests today have just really kind of convicted me about something that public radio is known for. I mean, tote bags, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we just offered them for this show, didn't we, in our last fun drive.
We, We did. So, you know, that's kind of a funny little thing to ask, but I guess in all seriousness, should public radio and public media in general be reconsidering the infamous tote bags as premium items for listeners?
Matt Riggs, what do you think?
Not necessarily. I mean, if you sustainably source those bags, like I said, if those bags are made from some recycled material or reused material, or they're organically produced or fair trade produced, those are all different criteria you can use. So basically, you know, going that extra step and looking for something that's sustainably sourced is really key. But I don't see any reason why you should eliminate those from your benefits.
David, do you know if our last round of tote bags, how they were sourced?
I don't know that, but we could certainly find that out so you could let listeners know.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for the call, David. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Erica from Kansas City, Missouri. Erica, we're talking about plastic bags versus cotton tote bags. Good morning.
Good morning. It's very controversial this morning, I'll say that. I just got back from spending 8 months in Hawaii, and there are no plastic bags in Hawaii. Like, island-wide, they have outlawed plastic bags. And so it was really easy to just assimilate and figure out how to manage your life without a plastic bag that I don't know. Like, just going to Target, your curbside order was not delivered. You did not get a plastic bag. They give you your items and you leave. That, is it not possible on a larger scale if Target can do it on an island that we could do this nationwide without plastic bags? And I can take my answer off.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'm thinking, you know, Shelley, if you could wave your magic wand, would you make the Hawaiian-style approach to plastic bags nationwide?
Well, so I think Hawaii is a great example because it's an island nation,
right?
Right, or an island state, I should say, right on, right on the ocean, and so they have to be incredibly careful, being so close to the coast of, making sure that the plastic doesn't escape. And so this doesn't have to be a one size fits all solution. The one thing we don't want to have is just people piling up reusable bags in their closet that they don't actually use. And so yes, plastic waistbands can and definitely should be implemented in places that it makes sense to do so, and places where plastic escapage into oceans are problematic. But we also need to be thinking about potential unintended consequences of those bans, such as people consuming lots of other materials and other kinds of bags in larger quantities.
Okay, let's go to Jan from Kansas City North. Jan, you're on Up to Date.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I started, when the push went for using cloth bags, and so, I mean, it's been years and years ago now. I started looking for them because we moved up here to Kansas City, and there are so many thrift stores. So I don't know, of course, most of the bags that I have and have used for years probably were not sustainably produced, but I got them in thrift stores. $1 to $3 each. I wouldn't pay very much for them. Cotton, some canvas, and I have some bags I've had probably for 20 years because we moved up here in 1996, and I started, gathering them up. And we had two cars for a while, just one now, so I ended up with about 20 bags, and some of them I liked really well that were canvas. I've mended on the bottom when they started to get a hole in the corner.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so they've been in use, like I said, some of them for 20 years, and they're still going strong, and they go into my washing machine, you know. So anyway, that's kind of my story.
Yeah, Matt.
I love thrift stores. They're great.
Jan's doing it right, Matt, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some tote bags that are vintage tote bags from 20, 25 years ago. In terms of, tips for tackling this issue, a couple ways you may want to think about it is a lot of people like to add an R to the reduce, reuse, recycle, and one of the popular ones is refuse. So a lot of times you'll go into a store and you'll have one or two items, maybe three, and they'll automatically start to throw them in a bag or, or
don't
say,
there.
Do you want a bag? To say, yeah. No, I'm good carrying it. And another thing is we, at our house, what we do is we have a bag of bags for each of our cars. So we have a tote bag full of tote bags, and we keep one of those in each of our cars. We go shop, take them in, empty them out, put them back in the bag of bags,
right,
and make sure that goes back in the car. Because if you don't have them with you when you get somewhere, you're definitely not going to be able to use them.
You know, is there a role for governments here? Matt, as you work for the Mid-America mm-hmm. Regional Council, what role should governments be playing in all this as we go mm-hmm. forward?
Well, I know, like in the state of Missouri, at the state level, they banned bans. So they banned local cities' ability
yes.
to ban plastic bags, for
right.
instance. So there's a whole level, you know, there's local efforts that want to happen. There's state efforts that may or may not contradict those efforts. So it's
yeah.
really talking to your city councilman, your state legislators about, you know, progressive legislation that will allow flexibility around these types of issues.
But your point is, in the short term, there's really nothing a local city can do because the state legislature has said no bans on plastic bags.
Right.
Instance.
Yeah. So what they could do, though, is they could, you know, have a good outreach campaign from their city, like, you know, social media campaign would be ideal, where they're helping people, you know, use reusable bags, know where to recycle the unreusable bags. So basically educating the residents. There's no reason they couldn't do something like that.
Yeah, I bet in Michigan, Shelley, you don't have bans on plastic bags.
We do not currently have bans on plastic bags. That's correct. And
yeah.
we operate in a very similar environment. And, you know, I think as far as local government's role, you know, this idea of finding incentives, of helping and encouraging people to use reusables and use reusables large number of times. I think, again, your previous caller was spot on in terms of getting bags from thrift stores and then mending them, you know,
yeah.
you have your favorite ones. And so really trying to incentivize reusables, even if you can't eliminate single-use plastic entirely, you know, making it easier to both recycle the single-use plastic and then also encouraging people to use reusables at the same time.
So the takeaway from this conversation is continue to use your plastic bags, your plastic bags, your cotton tote bags as often as you can. Right, Shelley? That's the bottom line here.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. That's Shelley Miller, Professor of Sustainable Systems in the School for the Environment and Sustainability at the University of Michigan. Matt Riggs joined us. He's Outreach Coordinator for MARC, the Solid Waste Management District. Thank you both for a good conversation. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.